I'm reminded and seem like the world remind us also that Valentine's Day is right around the corner. I'm a flower man. I like to give my wife flowers. I like to see the expression on her face when she gets flowers. She told me before I was leaving, she said, "Now, you won't be here, but I'm going to miss my flowers." But little does she know is I'm going to have somebody to bring those flowers to her while I'm here. See, I like doing things like that because I appreciate my wife. I love her very much. But some men just not flower people. You can beg them for flowers and you can ask them and they still don't get them. But I want to say this, that it will make marriage a whole lot better if you start doing that. You know, you can bring all the money home you want and put it in a barrel. Seems like that's not enough. That little lady would like you to remember her on those kind of days. And you don't get too old for that. Amen. Well, we're over the hill now, and we don't need to do that. Well, why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? I figure a marriage after it got to a place where it got old, it ought to be juicy sweet. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to talk about that all the other night, but it might hit on some of it. But the thought hit my mind, brethren, go out. Get her some roses. Get her a little flower. Maybe she don't like artificial. Get her something real. Now, we'll go down, we'll buy a big old box of candy, something that ain't good for you all to get it. And we'll bring back candy. Okay, I'll watch it. I got my sister to give me an eye over there. I'll watch it. I appreciate the one that helps me out. I got all set today at the meal, and I didn't eat any sweets yesterday. I was trying to stay away. Don't really need them. We'll stay away from them. But I got out today, and I got me two or three rolls and a piece of chocolate cake and some ice cream over here on the side, and I just got my forks all together, and I'm ready to go at it, boy. And Sister Heron got to talking, and I was trying to get her to be quiet. She's going to hear you. And so she was talking, and she wanted a roll that I had, but she was trying to tell them she was going to help me out with it. And then Sister Taylor heard her talking, and she come over and said, "Now, Brother Kimball, you know you're not supposed to have this." "Oh, I told you to be quiet." And they bust me down. They took all my rolls and ice cream and left me with a little piece of cake with just two little bits of ice cream or yogurt or whatever. I said, "Is that all? That's it?" But you know, I appreciate that. But now, tonight, the ministry looks out for your soul. Now we want to take away the thing that you don't need. Is that all right? We want you to buy it with us now. We want to take away the things that you don't need and that we can just thin down, stay healthy, praise God, and we can all go to heaven again. Is that all right? All right. But I like to see, and I'm pretty much finding out that there's a lot of problems in older marriages as well as young marriages. And it's simply because we as men, we don't remember to do little things that would cause our spouse to really appreciate us more. And even for those at home that don't have husbands, and husbands are not saved, you know what we do? When we go out and we buy some flowers for my wife, we buy them a little set of flowers too. And you see the smiles on their face. Yeah. And the happiness in their heart. And you know what happens? When they go to pray, they really going to pray for you. They'd appreciate that. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Loving. And my wife told me, she said to me one day, she said, "Love beget love." Yeah, sure. And it does. Yeah. And many times we think, you know, as men, "Well, I work hard and I bring home my money. I give you all the money, so what more you want?" It's not about the money. It's not about the money. You know the time you come in, you said, "Sister Mary, biscuits taste real good." She'd like you to say hers tastes that way too. That's right. My wife first started making biscuits, they were the ugliest thing I ever seen. But yet I couldn't. I'm coming from a family where my sister and mother made some real good biscuits. They look good, they taste good. But my wife tried, they didn't look so good. But she said, "How's my biscuits, honey?" I said, "Well, honey, praise the Lord." Amen. So I said all that to say that they want to be remembered. And sisters, don't get discouraged, because through here I'm seeing more and more that we need more teachings on husband and wife. Whether you believe it or not, we need a lot of teachings on husband and wife, because that's a lot of our problem. A lot of our problem. And when we come to service, we probably may sit together, but we're really not together all the time. You know, you didn't like what he did. He didn't like what you did. I told him at home, I said, "You know, we're just as aggravating to them as we feel they are to us." You got two aggravating people sometimes that need God to help us. So I want to say, Saturday, Valentine's Day? That's right? Saturday night, we ought to have some happy sisters. I'm here to watch now. I'm going to be looking. You ought to be smiling. "Well, I ain't got no money." You know, you can get a little bouquet of flowers for very cheap. Just a thought. And then they say, "Well, sisters, don't you go and say, 'Well, you didn't do it because Brother Kimball said it.'" Don't you discourage us. If somebody did tell us to do it, don't you discourage us. You just say, "Praise God. Give us some more of this." Let's not forget it. Let's try to keep that in mind. Well, we may touch down a little bit more of that later in the thought we have this evening. I have a thought here that a long life journey, we often, many times, we're guilty of it. But then after it's done, we have to deal with the result of it. And the Lord gave it to me this way. Quick decisions and the consequences thereof. Quick decisions. And I believe in life, you and I, many times, we make quick decisions, especially men. Somehow or another, we as men, we figure that I'm the man of the house and I got to make the decision. But what we realize and don't recognize is the decision that we make going to affect the wife and the children. It's going to affect the family. So it will help us if we would slow down on our decision making and be sure we got the mind of the Lord when we make that. I believe it would be good for us. Quick decision. Decision is a conclusion arrived at after consideration. But sometimes we make a decision, we don't consider it a whole lot, just to the point that I want to do it. And that's about it. But then the consequences is the result of a decision that was made. It's one thing to make a decision. It's another thing to have to deal with the consequences of it or the result of what you have made. Marriage comes in there, doesn't it? Marriage is something that should not be quickly decided upon. Because once you say "I do," that's it. Is that right? You believe that way? Somebody told me one day, said they believe if you married somebody and they weren't saved and you weren't saved and then you got saved, then you can get a sister out of church. That's where you get that at. That's wrong. Once you marry, you are married until death separates you. So now, this is something you should be carefully thought out, prayed out, seek out. You heard me mention last night, that here's a marriage that took place, and 6 months now into the marriage, I don't want to be married anymore. I don't want to be married anymore. I'm tired of being married. Mama, what do you want me to do now? You want me to come over there and undo it? Can't do it that way. You hooked up. And I, in my performing weddings now, I take a little bit more time. See, because in reality, you can hook a person up in 10 minutes flat and let him be on his way. But he'd be hooked up for a lifetime. See? At the same time, I'm taking my time and looking over the situation. I try to give a couple at least 3 counsel sessions before they get married. If they want me to marry them.
Put it that way.
And I like to deal and work with the things to help them to recognize and understand what you're getting involved with. Well, most people say, well, preacher, I ain't got that kind of time. I love her, she loves me, we want to do it. Quick decisions. It brings a real hurt later on in life. I want my decisions or my decidings to be where the blessing of the Lord will be upon them.
Amen.
Now, there's something in my mind that I can't seem to get a hold of. When it comes down to things you do for the Lord, I got to pray about it. You ever notice that? I got to spend some time in prayer about this. I want the Bible, Scripture give it to me to do it. Lord, find me to do it. But I got to pray about it. But something that when I need to pray about, I quickly make a decision and go ahead and do it. Have you, brethren, ever made a quick decision without your wife knowing it? Amen. Can I see your hand? Come on, let me see your hand. Huh? And it's just like a little boy. If she don't agree with you, you get upset.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's true.
We want you to agree with us, honey, in this decision that I made. And I want you to go along with me in me doing it. At home, in our Bible teaching on husband and wife, I asked the congregation, I said, I want each one of you, husband and wife, I want you to write 3 things about your spouse that you want to change. And I began to get paper, and I said, put them in the box. He put them in the box, and I had to rewrite them, because if I hadn't rewrote them, they would have known who they were that wrote it. Because they no doubt said it all the time at home, see? So, I want to read to you just a few of these in conjunction with the thought that I have on my heart. And I heard a preacher say one time, said, now you done prayed her down, and you done sought the Lord for her, and now you done got married to her, and said, now, why are you still complaining? If God gave it to you, that's the one you're supposed to have. Now, why are you complaining about it? Well, brought some real thoughts in my mind. You pray for us. One brother said, I wish my wife would respond faster. All right? He goes on to say, I wish I didn't have to explain some things as much before she backs me 100%. I stop there a moment. I want her to back me 100%. All the decisions that you have ever made, have you ever made the bad ones? Now you want her to back you 100% after the bad decision you've made, without you consulting with her. You want her to back you 100%. I told the congregation, I don't want my wife to back me 100% in everything I do, because I could be wrong in some things that I do. I want her to be on the other side of the thing and say, honey, you spoke a little too quick. Honey, you made a quick decision there, and you need to think about it and pray about it. Don't just follow me, and then I can be wrong in some of the decisions I make. I need somebody to be on the other side of the pole and look up and say, hold it, brother. Did you pray about this thing? Did you seek the mind of the Lord on this? I got an old boat at home.
It looks like
night when I get ready to work on that old boat, I don't pray about nothing. I just go get it. You understand? Because I want to go fishing, see? And I just go, if I need a tire, I go get it. If I need this, I go get it. But when wife get ready to buy something, honey, did you pray about that thing, spending that kind of money? She bought some knives from a fellow. You heard me say it maybe before I say it again. She was helping this young boy, and he was going to school, and he was trying to get points in one thing and another, and she bought a set of knives. And I said, oh, you're trying to help the fella. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how much did you pay for those knives? She said, $400. I said, they must be self-sharpened. Lord help us. Can you see what I'm saying? Now I got trouble. You just spent $400 for a set of knives, and when I finished talking, she looked at me and she said, and you just spent $400 on that old boat. Lord help us. You bear with us. I hope I get my point to you. Quick decision. When it comes down to spiritual matters, when it comes down to things that the Lord wants us to do, we got to pray a long time about it. But when it comes down time to make decisions on what I want and what I want to buy, I don't need a whole lot of prayer life. I just go and do it. It's something about a man that we don't think sometimes. When we see something we want in our mind, we want to get it. We don't want nobody to stop us. And that's as far as I can see. That's what I want. Not realizing the result of it at the end. Well, quick decision. So this young fellow said, I want my wife to back me 100%. And that I don't have to explain everything. You want a wife like that? That just say, amen, bro. Amen, bro. Just amen, bro. Everything you want to do is amen, bro. And when it goes wrong, amen, bro. Amen, bro. See what I'm talking about? No. I want somebody that's going to be on the opposite side. See, somebody said, my wife and I, we have a lot in common. And she likes to fish, I like to fish. She likes to do this, I like to do this. Wait a minute. God put folks one fast, other slow. Slow them down. Quick decision. Somebody turn with me, would you please, to Luke. 12th chapter, Luke. Begin with verse 16.
And he came to Nazareth.
All right. I'm sorry. Is it verse 12? I mean, Luke 12, 16? Luke 12 and 16. Sorry.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying... The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty.
The ground of a certain rich man. Now, it tells me that this man is already well off. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. All right?
And he thought within himself, saying...
Here's the first error, if you please. We think within ourselves. We think what we want to do. And because we think that way, it'll cause us to make decisions that's going to be a hurt to our soul. All right, read on.
What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit.
Now, it seems like here, a man of this caliber got everything he wants already. Seemed like to me, he went to the Lord and said, now, Lord, I appreciate the abundance you give me over and above what I already need. You gave me some more. Now, Lord, what can I do with it to help you out? What can I do, he said, within myself? I don't have big enough barns to restore all of mine. Mine. True. All right. Read.
And he said, this will I do,
This is what I'm going to do. You know, that's where we make errors. We begin to sit down and we begin to meditate on how we're going to do it, how we're going to hook it up, how we're going to get it done, and what we're going to do with it afterwards and all. And then we make decisions based upon how I feel about it. When it comes down to spiritual things, when it comes down to things of God, we can't base things upon how I feel about it. It's the way God feels. What He sees. I was telling Brother today, we were talking, and I appreciate the little talks we have when you get in the evenings. My prayer when I first got saved, I remember the first job I had after I got saved. And I got paid that weekend. I came home. And I spread my little paycheck right out on the bed. Just spread it out on the bed. And I asked the Lord this. I said, Lord, don't let me accumulate or gain anything in this life that's going to hinder my soul. I still mean that. And I told Brother, it looked like every time I get ready to make the big bucks, boom, the bottle falls out. I'm back down again. I said, you know this is all right. I said, Lord, He brought back to my mind, I don't want you to get so high in the world in this thing that it'll cause you to be in the trouble with me. So I'm letting the bottom fall out every time you get there. I said, praise the Lord. If it ain't IRS, it's somebody else. If it ain't them, it's that and winning. Had a job here not long ago last year. I was supposed to walk away from the job with $50,000 cash and be gone. That's pretty good little earnings for 3 months' work. And God let it rain on me a month and a half. Instead of walking away with $50,000, they said I was $100,000 in the red. Now that's like God, isn't it? They say, well, who do you blame? Can I blame God? He rained on me for a month and a half. See? Lord, help me not to make quick decisions. Praise be to God. I'm still living. 3 months behind and everything, but the Lord blessed the creditors. I don't know how He did it, but everybody got right in there, seemed like to move right in the house with me and started working things out. I say, this is God. So that was my prayer to the Lord. Don't let me accumulate or get something that's going to hinder my soul. My soul is important. That's the most important thing to me. And when I make decisions, I want to make them right. See, I want to make them right. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I guarantee you today, you can get everything you want, everything you think you want, and you're still not satisfied. You're going to want some more. This rich man tells me that. The rich man, he's already rich, and his ground brought forth plentiful. And he still want to tear down what he has. And he want to build bigger, boy. Watch something here. Read.
This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits.
There I will bestow all my fruit. Now, where do we get the notion in life that I can do so much? That I'm capable, that I'm smart, that I can do so much. Many times we have people, and we were talking about this at some point. Many times you have folks that think they're real smart. They got folks maybe can quote you scriptures and know where to find them. And my little mind maybe can't get a hold of all of that. But yet, because you can do that, don't mean that you know so much that you can deal without God. You're going to need God to inspire whatever you know. Amen. Knowledge without inspiration ain't hitting on much in the spiritual sense of God. Because God has to give the inspiration for it. This man had everything he desired, no doubt. And now his mind began to tell him, he thought within himself. This is what caused people to make quick decisions. Well, do you have anyone that can help me with this matter? Anybody can give me counsel? You know, many times we don't seek counsel because we know what they're going to say. Amen. We don't know. No, I don't have nothing good to say about me. I'm not going over there. I know what they're going to say. So they don't go. But what we'll do, we'll seek out somebody like-minded as we are. Amen, brother. We'll seek somebody like-minded as we are. Quick decision maker. That's where I'm going to go to. Yeah, brother, go ahead and get it. Do all that's in your heart. That's right. But the scripture said, know thou this, that whatsoever you're doing is going to be brought into judgment. It's going to be, you're going to meet it again.
That's right.
See, they don't tell you that part. Do all that's in your heart. Eat, drink, and be merry. You're going to be sad soon later. I teach back home, and I still teach, and been taught many, many times. I tell the young folks, I said, stay out of as much debt as you can. That's what I teach them. Stay out of as much debt as you can. Not anybody can get a credit card. They send stuff through the mail, you already approved. All you got to do is sign on the dotted line. Huh? You got more approved cards come in now? And I'll tell you, and when them cards look good in your pocket, mine too. Hey, man. $2,500 on this one, $6,000 on that one, the gold card, you know, the sky's the limit. Woo! Amen. And we just don't charge it. Charge it. Charge it. Charge it. Charge. We ought to go out of spell to go in our sleep. Charge it. Charge it. Amen. And you know what happens? At the end of the month, go to rolling around and money ain't capital. And it'll take you years. And the scripture said, the borrower is what?
Servant to the lender.
Now when the Lord wants to bless me to go out to your camping, I can't go. I got to work. I got to meet my responsibility. But now the Lord did say, take care of your responsibility. See what we back up on? Yes, but he also said, the borrower is servant to the lender. Amen. And I teach at home, listen, don't make quick decisions and go out and begin to get all these things because you can do it. Don't do that. That's not wise. Because at the end of it, you watch and see, you're going to meet the result of it. And it'll hinder you in the service of the Lord. You and I can't be the servant that God wants us to be because we either bound down or tied up and can't do hardly anything. I don't know what you think about this thought, but I believe the Lord's trying to help us. He's still calling for you and I to be able that when he pulls the string, we can say, Lord, where you want me to go? Amen. I found out something when I went to Honduras. A whole lot of things I thought I had to have, I found out I can deal with that. Quick decisions. Quick decisions can cause us real problems. So, this rich man, if you please, he began now to want to restore his fruit in bigger barns. I'm not satisfied with the little barns I have. It kind of reminds me, you know, in buying a car. Those salesmen, they go to school to be salesmen. And somehow or another, while we're sleeping, they figuring out how to deal with us. But you go down and you look at a car and you see something you like. It's nothing for them to say, now take the keys and take it home for a couple of days. Here the keys. Take it home. Just drive it. No, I don't want to. No, go ahead. Don't worry about a thing. Just drive it a couple of days. You drive it home and you passing through the neighborhood honking, bum bum. Bum bum. And everybody said, hey, brother got a new car. Bless his heart. He ain't got it yet. Watch it now. But brother got a new car. Everybody's seen him in now. And after you keep it a couple of days, you see, and you take it back. Now, here's the catch. He take it back. That salesman know what he's doing, see. He take it back, and he park it, and he walking back, and he kind of looking at it as he walking. Look back at it again. Then he get in this old car he been having. Old Faithful. Been faithful for years. Had never put him down. Been faithful. And he get in and he finds everything wrong with it. You know, now they're making these cars where they got the volume to the radio on the wheel. Temperature on the wheel. Huh? Everything's right on the wheel. Just press a button. You just look at it now. It's amazing. Everything now, just touch a button and just... The seat, it just... You got a memory thing on the seat now. You press a button and wherever you had it before, it'll bring you right back there. Whoever done sat in it and moved it, all you got to do is hit that memory button and that seat will just bring you right back where you've been. I said, boy, this is something. And you get into these things and it's like riding on air. And then they do that because he wants you to make a decision. And you buy it. And you roll around through the block and everybody's seen you and they already thought it's yours. So that's going to help the decision. But here this rich man got what he needed. Now, God deals with your need, doesn't he?
Yes.
Not with a whole lot of what you want. Many times what we want is cause me to make the quick decision and I do something, I got to suffer. Somebody married a wife. Quick decision. Wrong woman. Now they want to come back to the preacher. And he want to escape with him. He want us to figure out something in the scriptures to give him a way that he can get out of what he got into. We can't do it. Can't do it. You got in, and you're going to stay in it if you plan to go to heaven. Until the Lord says it.
Amen.
This man here done got everything he wanted. Now he look like the richer getting richer. There's something about our society that we live in. You can be accustomed to a person that think you have money. All right? Now you might not have hardly nothing. But you've carried yourself in a way that folks think you've got it. Now watch this. And you can go to somebody that do have it and say, brother, loan me $5,000. Oh, yeah, you can get anything else. Here. Why? Because you carry yourself that way, they think you have it, see? But you let a fella that they know ain't got it and come up and say, hey, brother, can I borrow $5,000? Man, I can't help you. You see the difference? So in that sense, when they think you got it, money gets more money, see? This rich man got everything he wanted, but yet he desiring more because now his ground has brought forth more and now he got to find somewhere to put it. Wouldn't it have been just as easy for him to get the mind of God? Lord, I can appreciate what the abundance you blessed me with, but you blessed me with it for a reason. Now, Lord, what sayest thou? What sayest thou, Lord? All right, read on now. I'm going to say to my soul.
Soul, thou hast much good stored up for me.
He's getting pretty deep now, isn't he? Soul, thou hast much good. Pride can sit in there, can't it? Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years.
Take thine ease.
Now you can just take your ease on the thing.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't have to worry about a thing. He made a decision here. Not a result of this whole decision that he made. I want us to get a hold of him. Read.
But God said unto him, thou fool.
God said unto him, thou fool.
This night thy soul
shall be required of thee.
Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
More families break up because of what was left behind. Heard Brother Herschel said one time Daddy died and left his Bible. Didn't have a fight over that. He said they all presented the Bible to him and said, Brother, Dad would like for you to have this. You see what I'm talking about? But most families break up over everything we've accumulated. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't pinpoint it down on paper, what you going to do, what you got now, when you're gone, brother, it's a mess. See the result of it. The result of what all you've done and did what rich toward God, the result of the thing caused a whole lot of problems. I've seen more people fall out about my mama plates and her fork. She would want me to have it. I wouldn't fall out with my family about a fork and a spoon. They got too many of them down there. And by the time you fall out about them, your children gonna come along and break them up. Amen. Quick decisions. The results of it cause a lot of headaches down the line. But I still want you to keep in mind, when it comes down to God or doing something for God, I gotta pray about it. I gotta pray about everything that comes down to dealing with God. I want to get the mind of the Lord. That's fine. That's good. But what about some of these things I make decisions on that I don't get the mind of the Lord? How long do I pray about that? When you married your companion, we're going back there again. You felt that the Lord gave you them. Is that right? I didn't get married in the church. I got married before I got saved. But I appreciate the wife that God gave me. I believe that's the rib that is supposed to be there. Now she said. And I promised to love her. I don't get many amens right here. That's true. I don't get many amens right here. I promised to love her. Did you? If you got married, you did. And I promised to take care of her. I was supposed to be praying this out. I was supposed to be sorting this thing out from praying good about you. Now you're the apple of my eye. Is it still that way? If you don't like what you got now, you're in trouble. Because guess what? They live a long time. Amen. They live a long time. And I have brethren that I've dealt with and talked with and said, well, if the Lord will see fit, don't worry about that. If the Lord will see fit to take her, I already got one pick. Lord, have mercy here. Can you see what we get off into? Folks, this is reality. The reason we are thinking about it, it's maybe humorous to us because it's a reality. This is what's happening. You know what I'm hearing about today? And it's disgusting when I hear it. I'm hearing about divorces. You were writing a divorcement. Put her out of your house. That's what I'm hearing. In the last year, I've dealt with three people already that's putting in for a divorce. She don't find favor in my eyes anymore. What happened? Something went wrong somewhere. Well, I made a big mistake. I guess you did. But it's a two-way street. It takes two to make a marriage. And if God is the center of it, I say if you've been married any length of years, it ought to be juicy sweet. Amen. Amen. Get quiet on here. It ought to be juicy sweet. Many times I teach at home, many times we don't take mom out to dinner until some of the saints come around. Huh?
Saints come here. Come on, y'all. Let's go out to dinner. Yeah, bless the Lord. Come on, honey. We're going out to dinner.
But why you don't take me, just you and I? Why you can't take me, just you and I go out and visit with each other? You get all sleepy when you with me, and when the saints come, you want to stay up all night long. I say, I got to go to work tomorrow. You had to go to work then, too. Can you see what I'm talking about? But I believe this is where a lot of our problem lies. We're making all these quick decisions in marriages. Oh, listen, we ought to be dealing with folks when they come to say, I found some favor in you, and I want to seem like spend the rest of my life with you. And I look at them and say, are you sure? Are you sure? Do you realize what you're saying, spending your life with somebody? I don't know what you think about this. I tell you, I'm a flower man. I'm going to keep saying that. I challenged the brethren in Mississippi. I said to them, they had a lot of complaining about, my husband don't do nothing. And he don't, I said, he don't do nothing? Nothing. I said, well, what did he got to do? Something. All he do is read the Bible and go to bed. That's all. He don't pay no attention to me. He don't. I said, my. So I said to the brethren, I said, I'm going to challenge you, brethren. This is around December. I said, for 3 months, I want to challenge you, brethren. On the 15th of December, it's going to be Mother's Day. On the 15th of January, it's going to be Mother's Day. I said, on the 15th of February, and somebody said, well, the 14th is Valentine's, so we can get 2 days. But I said it's Mother's Day. Now, mothers, here's what we're going to do. We want, as men, we're going to bring you some roses, and we want you to have that day to do whatever you want to. If it means you want to rattle off and you want us to listen, we're going to humble our heart and listen to you. Amen. And you know sometimes they can rattle, can't you? Amen. Yes, Lord, they can do it. They can begin talking to you about one subject, and before 2 minutes have passed, they done dealt with four or five subjects. Boom, 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 boom. And you're saying, huh? But you know what? I challenged them, brethren. I said, we're going to give you this day that you can listen to them. Mothers, this is your day. You made a quick decision? Let us help you with it now. Amen. Well, Saturday, they're going out and get roses. One thing about them over there, I appreciate them in Mississippi, you don't have to look over their shoulder. When they say they're going to do it, they do it. And it has tremendously increased the love in the congregation. It knocked out a lot of the problems. It helped the men realize the quick decisions they made and things that caused problems. Yeah. That they're trying to straighten those out. It has brought them closer together. You think we don't need that? Amen. I believe every one of us is guilty to some point of making some decisions without really praying through them. And those decisions cost us some headache. I got some things that I'm still looking at. I made some decisions on it. Didn't pray through on it. Thought I had the mind of the Lord on it. But I realized that I didn't. And you know when I realized I didn't? After I was in it. But one thing I believe in. If I find out that I didn't have the mind of God, I'm going back and I'm going to say, oh, please forgive me. Yeah. My family, congregation, just wherever. I've learned something over the years. I'm learning, still learning. That when people come to me to work out their problem, I can't work them out. But I point you to one that can. And I'll pray with you that you'll get your mind of the Lord on how to deal with it. Brethren, I don't know what you think about this. But here's a man that made some decisions that it cost him his soul. Now that's how serious it is.
Yeah.
That cost him his soul. God said, this night, thy soul for one. That's the difference, isn't it? Go over to Ezra with me, please. The Ezra, maybe verse 21, somewhere in there. Let's see. All right. Here in Ezra, I appreciate the thought here that Ezra had been going around testifying to how good God was and what God's capabilities are. I was speaking to Brother Clinton today, he and I were talking again. I said, I appreciate our little talks in the evening. For you and I to have faith in God, He's going to have to take us through some areas where we're going to have to get that.
Amen.
We'll never learn how to have faith if we don't hit some rough and spots that is going to cause us to really lean hard on God. When we do that, it inspires our faith. And it's going to inspire others' faith that you'll be able. I can't teach faith to you if I have not experienced it. God's going to bring me through some areas to know how to pray through and get the answer down from Him. See?
Yes.
I can't teach you how to raise your children all together if I don't go through some areas where I got something to try to raise too. Now, I will say this. Paul didn't have any children, but Paul had the mind of Christ and was able to deal with that. God is able to work with that. But it's more effective in our day and time when I've gone through something to know how to better counsel you. To better know how to work with you.
Amen.
How do you know this, brother? I've been there. God is allowing, seem like some marriages break up, but yet they hang on to God and stay true, so they'll be there when another individual in our young age today hit this altar and said, I can't live with this man. Yes, you can.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody going to bend there in order to tell you how to get there.
Yes. Amen.
Ezra, testifying of how great thou art. Now, when it come down time for him to go across the wilderness there, he didn't have the soldiers. He didn't have the qualified soldiers that he needed to escort the families and the children. So what did he do? 21.
Then I proclaim a fast there.
Then I proclaim a fast there.
At the river of Ahava.
All right, at the river Ahava, 3.
That we might afflict ourselves before our God.
That we might afflict ourselves before our God.
To seek of Him a right way for us.
To seek of Him a right way for us.
And for our little ones.
And for our little ones.
And for all of our stuff.
Now wait a minute. How serious this was to Ezra. It was such seriousness in it that he was dealing with little ones. He was dealing with the substance. He was dealing with families. He was dealing with other people's souls. So now, he said, we proclaim the fast. And we afflict ourselves before the Almighty God. I read.
For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way.
He was ashamed now to ask for a band of soldiers after he'd been testifying that God is good. Huh? Can you see where we are? When we say Jesus saves, I believe that, don't you?
Yes.
How do you believe? Because He saved you. Huh? Amen. That's how you really believe.
above anything, you know it worked because it worked for you. Now you can stand up without a shadow of doubt and tell folks, I'm saved. I'm living for God.